Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling some sources that, well, they offer a really comprehensive view of where we are globally right now. And frankly, it's pretty challenging stuff. We're looking at this era of, you know, geopolitical fractures, systemic instability. The research we've reviewed calls it a profound existential tension. But what's interesting is the sources don't just focus on the crisis itself. They frame this whole breakdown, not really as a collapse, but more like a metamorphosis, a necessary change.
Right.
So the big question for this deep dive, the one driving us, is whether this implosion, as they call it, is the end of something or maybe the explosive start of a global awakening. And our mission for us and for you listening is to unpack this idea that getting through this transition demands this huge shift inside us, a real human transformation.
That's spot on. And what makes these sources pretty unique, I think, is how they blend things. You've got this hard systems analysis, economic loops, historical cycles, that kind of thing, mixed with a really deep philosophical framework. They actually call it the fractal principle. It's like a spiritual development guide layered onto a geopolitical forecast.
Yeah.
It's dense.
Definitely sounds dense.
Yeah. So to help you sort of navigate it all, we've broken this dive down into three main parts. First, we'll look at the instability now, why the old ways, the old institutions are failing.
Yeah, unraveling.
Exactly. Then second, we'll pivot inward, look at the internal shift required, this fractal principle idea.
Okay.
And finally, section three, we'll try to ground all that theory and look at the concrete new systems that are apparently emerging. You know, the blueprints for what they're calling a new renaissance.
Okay, let's start with that disintegration then. Because, I mean, the sheer scale of global problems happening all at once, it's hard to miss. The sources point out these breakdowns aren't isolated anymore. They're feeding each other.
Mm-hmm. Synchronize?
Yeah. Like the rapid rise in polarization in society, the sources call it informational pathologies. That phrase really struck me.
It's a powerful one.
It suggests our basic tools for figuring out what's true are just broken. People don't just disagree on policy. They disagree on basic reality. How do you fix anything then?
You can't really. That's the point. Societal self-correction just grinds to a halt. And that inability to fix things gets worse with these acute global risks piling up.
It's like environmental stuff.
Exactly. Extreme weather, resource scarcity. These are sort of long-term worries, right? Now they're immediate, urgent. Happening now.
Right.
Add in the growing geoeconomic tensions, countries squaring off, and maybe most unsettling, even advanced AI models are starting to predict widespread instability pretty accurately.
Wow.
So the diagnosis in the material is, well, it's stark. Our global systems, they've just become too complex for us to manage anymore, or at least manage with the tools and thinking we currently have.
That level of complexity needs a unified response, doesn't it?
It does. And our current structures, often working in silos, just can't deliver that. They weren't designed for it.
So why now? Is this just a run of bad luck, or is there a pattern here? Is it cyclical?
Well, according to the sources, drawing on some large-scale sociological theories, it's definitely cyclical. They argue we're navigating what's called the fourth turning, or a crisis phase.
Okay, fourth turning. What does that mean, practically speaking?
These are periods, maybe 20, 25 years long, of maximum instability. Institutions get shaken to their core. This particular crisis phase, the sources suggest, kicked off around 2008.
The financial crisis.
Mm-hmm. And they expect it to run its course into the early 2030s.
So what happens during a phase like this?
Historically, these phases systematically destroy old, rigid structures. Think back to the 1930s, World War II, big upheavals.
Right.
The systems being dismantled now are typically the ones based on, like, perpetual growth, extraction, centralized top-down control. Mm-hmm. This whole model of dominating nature, dominating people.
And why do they fail now?
Because they become too rigid. They refuse to adapt or yield when faced with new pressures or complexities. Protecting the existing power structure becomes more important than adapting to reality. And, well, that guarantees they eventually break.
Okay, but I have to push back a bit here. The sources use this phrase. They call this breakdown, which causes real suffering for real people. They call it a sacred fire of purification. Isn't that, I don't know, romanticizing disaster, maybe even justifying it?
That's a really important question to ask. And it's crucial how we interpret that language. When they use phrases like sacred fire, it's intended metaphorically. It's definitely not a literal religious claim.
Okay.
The interpretation they're offering is that the destruction isn't meaningless chaos. It's acting like a large-scale feedback mechanism. Its purpose, in their view, is to force a radical change in our collective perspective.
So the fire burns away the old rigid stuff, Because it has to.
Precisely. Because those old structures are fundamentally disconnected from the health of the whole system, the planet, the collective. They simply can't cope with today's complexity. So the purification is about cleansing obsolete ways of thinking and organizing society. It's harsh, but potentially necessary for something new to grow.
Okay, I understand the framing better now, even if the language is intense. So if the external systems are crumbling as this necessary cleansing, the story has to shift inward, right?
Exactly.
If we can't just fix the outside world easily right now, the real action, the required shift, must be internal. The crisis itself becomes the catalyst. It forces us to find meaning, meaning-making under pressure.
And this is where that core philosophical idea, the fractal principle, comes into play.
Yeah.
It's central to their whole argument.
Right. The fractal principle. Explain that a bit more.
Okay. So the basic idea is that the physical collapse we see externally, the failing institutions, the environmental stress, it's a direct outward reflection of our collective internal state, specifically our collective spiritual incoherence.
So reality reflects patterns across different scales, like a fractal.
Exactly. The structure of reality isn't just random. It reflects these underlying patterns. Think of it like the health of your body reflecting the health of its individual cells.
Okay, so if I'm understanding this, if my consciousness is fragmented, or if our collective consciousness is fragmented and based on separation, then the world outside our institutions, our politics, will inevitably reflect that fragmentation. It's a mirror.
That's the core concept.
Yeah.
If the individual parts of us are operating from what they call the illusion of separation, focused only on the self or the small group, then the whole system, the global body, will manifest that as conflict, breakdown, disease, structural disease.
Wow.
So the fractal principle suggests this external collapse directly corresponds to an inner shift that's basically compulsory. It forces individuals toward realignment, heart, mind, soul, getting coherent internally.
Which sounds very much like what the source is called the global awakening, right? The shift where that illusion of separation starts to dissolve.
Precisely.
And consciousness itself is seen as the architect of reality, not just a passive observer.
Yes, exactly that. And it's not just about watching things happen.
Yeah.
The internal coherence of each individual getting yourself aligned is described as a quantum act. It directly contributes to the emergence of a new collective reality, a new global structure.
So it's collective evolution driven by individual change.
You got it.
Yep.
You can't just wait for some external force, government, technology to fix the fragmentation if the fragmentation actually originates inside us collectively.
What I find really fascinating is how the sources connect this spiritual or developmental evolution directly to, well, to technology, specifically AI.
Mm-hmm. That connection is key.
They point to this urgent scientific race to understand consciousness itself, almost spurred on by how fast AI is developing. It's like AI is forcing the question, what is the soul? What makes us human? We need to figure that out before we accidentally engineer something that mimics it without understanding it.
Or engineer ourselves out of the equation. It forces us, as you said, to shift from being passive observers of reality to active co-creators. If you look at that table included in the source material.
Yeah, I saw that.
It maps this shift clearly. Moving out of the rigidity and, let's be honest, the fear of this crisis phase, which again might last into the 2030s, and moving toward the intentionality and alignment of the awakening phase, the new renaissance they talk about is built on realizing that inner work is structural work.
Okay, so we're in this transition zone, this messy middle, standing at a crossroads, as the sources put it, and they lay out two very different paths forward from here, two trajectories.
Yeah, two fractal trajectories following that principle.
Path one sounds like? Well, the default, maybe. Driven by fear, the ego wanting control, trying to master the chaos and build a, quote, new prison. Basically trying to rebuild centralized control using the old broken tools.
Doubling down on extraction and domination, essentially.
Right. And path two, that's the one aligned with this fractal teaching. It's about surrender to alignment, unity, shared responsibilities, serving the greater good.
It sounds passive, surrender. But it's meant as an act of alignment with a larger flow rather than fighting against it.
Okay, so if we collectively choose path two, or enough individuals do, what does that actually look like? We need tangible examples. What are these blueprints for a new renaissance?
Right, this is where the theory meets the road. This is the evidence, they argue, that this inner transformation is already happening and producing real-world results.
Mm.
Decentralized, cooperative results. They highlight three main blueprints.
Okay, what's first?
First up, regenerative economies. This is a huge shift away from that old extractive growth model, the one that got us into this mess in the first place. And it's more than just, you know, recycling or adding solar panels.
So how is it different from just sustainability? We hear that word all the time.
That's a great question. Sustainability traditionally often means doing less harm, trying to sustain the current system, maybe make it a bit greener. Regenerative means actively designing systems to leave the environment and the community better off than you found them.
Actively improving things.
Exactly. Think of things like cradle-to-cradle certified design. Instead of designing a product for landfill cradle-to-grave you, design it so every component is safe and can become a nutrient for something else, either back into industry or back into the earth.
Closed loops.
Closed loops, exactly.
Yeah.
And the core ethics driving these models are explicit. Earth care, people care, and fair share. It's about permanence, resilience, and making sure everyone involved benefits. Participatory governance is often built in.
Okay, that makes sense. What's the second blueprint?
Technology. Specifically conscious technology and AI ethics. This is where that internal shift, the fractal principle, gets tested most directly, I think.
Because AI can mimic consciousness.
Right. It presents this massive ethical challenge.
Mm-hmm.
We're creating tech that can look like it has consciousness, but does it have a soul? Does it have inherent values? The sources are pretty blunt here. The machine reflects the maturity of its creator. Meaning, if we approach AI driven by fear or greed, or the desire to control and dominate, we'll just automate our own shadow pattern. We'll build faster, more efficient systems of extraction or control. Yeah. But if we infuse AI development with the higher values that come from this inner transformation, empathy, interconnectedness, wisdom, then the outcomes could be radically different.
So the goal should be...
The sources phrase it as, build tools that heal, not just solve. Use AI not just for profit, but for things like complex environmental modeling for regeneration, or facilitating genuinely democratic decision-making on a large scale, or creating radical transparency. Technology guided by wisdom, not just cleverness.
Okay. Regenerative economies, conscious tech. What's the third blueprint?
It's about how we organize ourselves socially. Decentralized communities. The sources predict that as old-style central national authority weakens and globalization maybe pulls back a bit, we'll see the rise of more localized but often digitally connected confederated communities. Think networks of communities.
And how do they function differently?
They thrive because they're built to be adaptive and resilient. They often use decentralized decision-making tools. The sources mention platforms like Lumio as an example, where everyone can weigh in, and complex issues are managed through ongoing dialogue and consensus, not top-down orders.
So it's less rigid.
Much less rigid. And this actually mirrors that fractal principle, again, finding a balance.
Mm-hmm.
You need some structure, some organizing principle, which the source is metaphorically linked to the sacred masculine.
Okay.
But you also need decentralized flow, networks, adaptation, which they link to the sacred feminine. The systems that work, that survive, and thrive will be the ones that integrate both that structure and that flexibility.
This really does sound like hitting a massive reset button. The sources explicitly draw a parallel to the historical Renaissance, don't they? That period when art, science, philosophy all came together in a new way.
They do. They argue this current crisis is calling for a similar kind of unification, but maybe on a deeper level, manifesting as a spiritual Renaissance.
Spiritual Renaissance.
Meaning the convergence of deep wisdom. They mentioned traditions like Buddhism, focusing on consciousness and interconnectedness with our most advanced technology. But it demands that technology be grounded in ethics, in reverence.
Reverence, that's a powerful word in this context.
It is. And it connects to what they see as the highest expression of this inner evolution, this human transformation. The goal isn't to escape the material world, to transcend and leave it all behind.
No.
No. The goal is to embody higher consciousness within the material world, to bring that wisdom, that coherence into how we live, how we build, how we relate. And that, they stress, requires the courage to face our own shadows individually and collectively, because the wisdom we need is often hidden there.
So the ultimate takeaway, standing at this sort of fractal edge, the greatest technology isn't the AI, it's not the code, it's us. Our own consciousness.
That's the profound truth they land on. Yes. Mm-hmm. The real innovation needed for the coming era isn't primarily technical. It's ethical. It's spiritual. It's conscious.
And that warning they give is stark. Innovation without soul becomes illusion.
Absolutely. It just creates more complex problems down the line. Therefore, the ultimate act of innovation, the most crucial one right now, is reverence. That deep commitment to ensure every system we build, every line of code we write, is guided by wisdom, by care for the whole.
Okay. Let's try to summarize this huge deep dive for everyone listening. Humanity seems to be at the end of a really long, often turbulent historical cycle.
Feels that way.
This moment of breakdown, this systemic unraveling, isn't just chaos. According to these sources, it's a necessary crucible, forcing a profound inner evolution, a human transformation. And the choice we face, each of us and collectively, seems pretty clear. Either cling desperately to the old ways, the fear-based structures that are crumbling, or choose to surrender, to align with this wave of collective intelligence, this awakening, and actively participate in creating that new renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for some external savior, political, technological, whatever that time seems to be over. The responsibility shifts inward.
It really does. Mm-hmm. And perhaps a final thought for you to mull over based on all this. If this systemic breakdown is functioning as a necessary purification by the sacred fire, as the sources provocatively put it, if it's designed to force this radical leap in perspective, then what specific outdated way of thinking, what old paradigm, maybe in your job, your community, or just how you see the world, are you personally resisting letting go of? What part of the old structure are you maybe trying to prop up that this fire might actually need to dismantle for something new to emerge?
Wow.
Because the future, according to this perspective, isn't just happening to us. It's being written right now by those who remember their role not just as observers, but as the source itself, actively breathing consciousness into form.